If you have your Bibles, you can turn to in 2 Chronicles. I'll share a verse with you. But the main thing I want you to understand, and we've been saying this last couple weeks, God is for you, okay? Can you turn the light on there, Aaron? I forgot to ask you that, buddy, before you sat down. There, I can see a little bit better that way. But God is really for us. Sometimes we think He's against us. We think He's up there waiting just to thump on us. He's waiting for you to mess up, Kenny, that way He can slap you. But it's the complete opposite. He's waiting for us to turn back to Him or allow Him to be God in our life. And God doesn't do anything. And He's God. Amen? There's nothing He has to do. But we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Look what He wants to do for His people, His children. Now, when I read this, He's talking to everybody here. Some of you who are born again, He's talking to you of what is awesome that He wants to do for you. And those who haven't committed yet, this is what He's saying, because He wants to do this for you also. But God of all creation that has everything, He tells us in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His." Wow. So He's looking at His children. When He says He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His, He's looking towards His children. Now we think, well, we're all children of God, right? But we're not. That's a slick one there. I knew somebody would say yes, but I didn't mean to trick you. Because we hear all the time that we're all children of God, but we're all His creation. But to become a child of God, He shows us in John chapter 1, verse 12, all those who receive Jesus becomes a child of God, born again. So He's looking at all those who are born again. He's watching what you do. He's trying to find a reason to bless you. Wow. Isn't that awesome? So He's watching yesterday, Bob. Did He find a reason to bless you? Don't answer that. I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? This is the question. He's always. You know, Brother Joe and I was talking earlier today. And I talked a few times about, I used to be a short temper. Somebody passed me, cut me off, you know. You aggravated with them, you know. Our brother Rob back, I don't mean to pick on you, but being a truck driver, you probably get that all the time, don't you? People cutting you off and just, it aggravates you. And Brother Joe, I'm going to share your confession today. Okay. Joe says, you know what, Pastor, I've been listening to you, and I've been trying to do what you said. And people cut me off, I don't get aggravated like I used to. Praise God. Amen. What you're doing, you give God a reason to bless you. Hey, just think of that. You give Him a reason. Because that person who cut you off, who passed you, driving them crazy, God still loves them also. Instead of giving them peace of your mind, say, "Oh, Lord, watch over them. I know why they're in a hurry, but keep them safe." You gave God permission to to be involved. There we go. To be involved in this situation. So because of that, man, you give him an opportunity just to bless you. And He don't have to do that. You know that? He gave us freedom from our sins through Jesus, but He wants to do that. So today, Carol, you sat back here awful far. You want to come up front? Because you're part of me today. Right here on the corner? No? Right here. I'll bring you here. I'll tell you what. Can I borrow this chair? There you go. You watch it. No, you can sit like that. And the only reason being today is that, here. You want a table? You want a glass of water and a menu while you're sitting here? Okay, well, here's the menu for today. Eat whatever you want to, the Word of God. Okay. But today, it's a little bit different because a lot of times we are talking about Passover today. And Passover is one of the it's one of the seven feasts, but it's one of the three feasts that God says that all generations will celebrate. There's three of them. The first one in the calendar year is Passover. Then we have Pentecost, which is coming up here in a few weeks. And then in the fall we have Tabernacle. And that's the three of them. He says to do that, to remember it, to celebrate it, to recall. And today, if we look at Passover, we see the Passover in the Old Testament, which is the lamb that was slaughtered for the people to be free from Egypt. Then we see the Passover in the New Testament, which is Jesus Christ. And he's the New Testament, the New Covenant. And so as we look back toward the Old, we can understand more of the New. So it's a little bit different today. It's more of a just sharing Scripture, telling you the events of the Bible. But I think it's important. I want to do what God says to do, and I want the people here to be blessed. So, is Passover... No, a smaller one here. Okay. But anyway, Passover took place when the people of God was crying out to save us, to rescue us. They had been enslaved for 430 years. And they got tired of it. They're calling out to God. How did they get enslaved? We're going to back up about 431 years before the Passover. There's a man named Jacob. Had a lot of children. And I'm going to paraphrase it. What I'm saying today, you can find in Exodus chapter 1 up to chapter 12. Okay? But for time restraints, and the teaching really is on Passover, but I'm going to bring you some of the events up to that. But a man named Jacob had several sons. Included in his sons was a man named Joseph. Ever hear of Joseph? Okay. Coat of many collars. You know, and he was kind of like children of today. You ever have a rivalry among your children? You know, if you got several kids, or maybe yourself growing up, you had a rivalry. One thought it was better than the other, or whatever. And caused a conflict. Well, Joseph, one day, he had a dream. And in this dream, it showed his brothers bowing down to him. Wow. That's pretty cool. But you know what Joseph did? He told his brothers about it. They didn't like that too well. Can you imagine that? You know, they might have been picking on whatever. Hey, I had a dream. God showed me that someday you're going to bow down to me. They're not going to rejoice. All right, yay! They're not going to think, oh, they're going to be in leadership command. Oh, they're thinking, who do you think you are? Right away, it had a sore spot between them and Joseph. And so they never liked Joseph very well. Well, one day, they had the opportunity while out there tending the sheep. They thought, we're going to get rid of Joseph. We're going to kill him. Brothers want to get rid of another brother. So they took Joseph and they stuck him down this big hole in the ground. You know, leave him there to die. But one of them said, no, we can't do that. We just can't. They pulled him out and here comes some people down the road and they sold their brother into slavery. Wow. So now they had to go home. Joe, they had to go home. So they went and told Dad. Said, Dad, oh, that's terrible. They just, man, some beast got a hold of Joseph and destroyed him. Because they took his coat of many colors that he wore, that only Joseph had, that you knew it was him coming from a mile away, and they took blood of a sheep or goat that they killed and put on it, all tore it all up. And they convinced their dad that their brother was dead. And it broke the dad's heart. Wow. Right away we can see what jealousy can do. Hear me, church? Jealousy, boy, it can destroy. It can destroy relationships real quick. So here goes Dad now. Jacob living his days out, knowing that Joseph has been killed. But, as time went on, we will find Joseph being imprisoned in Egypt. He's in a jail cell now. I mean, wow, you think your life is bad enough, you get sold to people, and you get sold again, traded, and if something you didn't do, yeah, just being excited because God showed someday that he's going to be powerful, and that your brother's going to bow down to him. He didn't, you know, I don't know how he said it. He might have been snickering, or he might have been, hey guys, either way, the guys didn't like it. So, it was bad enough, he shared the dream that God gave him. Then, they sold him. Now we find him in jail. And all he wants to do is worship God. He's in jail now. But through the course of time in jail, and I'm summarizing all this.
There over 2 years.
Yeah, he's there for a couple of years in jail. And finally, the king has a dream. The king of Egypt has this dream. And through the course of time, someone brings it to the king's attention. Hey, you got a dude in jail. He interprets dreams. He's really good at it. So, they bring Joseph up in front of the king. And the king tells him of a dream he has, Steve. He says, I have a dream, and again, this is, you get the long details inside the chapters. A dream that he had 7 fat cows and 7 skinny cows. And no one, his sorcerer, no one could tell him what it meant. And Joseph told him, well, I can't do it, but there's a God in heaven that can. And so he prayed to seek God for the definition of what this dream was. So, what God told Joseph, hey, listen, there's going to be 7 years in fat cows, 7 years of abundance, over in abundance. There's going to be 7 years of bigger harvests than you ever seen. But then a drought is coming, and there's going to be 7 years of lean, 7 years of your cupboard's going to be bare. So, in the years of plenty, he says, tell the king to prepare for the 7 year of lean. So Joseph tells him that. So, the king, he starts putting food away. For 7 years, they stockpiled the extra food, getting prepared for the drought. And then what happened at the end of 7 years of plenty? Oh, well, the drought came. The cupboards were bare. But the resources had already been stored up. And so they still were able to feed the people. Well, this time, Joseph, remember his brother I was telling you about? His dad, they're living in the area of Goshen. They have nothing. The only hope they have is to go to Egypt now and try to get some food. So they show up in Egypt. And at this time, Joseph is no longer in jail. He is second in command right under the king. He's in charge of the country. Isn't that awesome? Wow. So they come and they speak with Joseph, not knowing who he is, because this is many years later. They say, we have a great need. So what does he do? He sends food back with him. And then they come back more. And the long story short, he has... When they come back, he shows his brothers who he is and his father. Wow. This one son that the dad thought was dead is alive. And because of him being alive, his whole family is going to survive now. So, in the time of famine, Joseph was able to feed his family there in Egypt. In fact, all of Egypt was always blessed because of Joseph and his family. Can you imagine that? What Satan meant for bad, God turned it around for good. Now, Joseph could have had a heart saying, like, yeah, you're starving? How about me? You stuck me in a hole. Hey, you sold me. I've been a slave. I've been doing all kinds of stuff. He could have had a heart like that. But he didn't. He rejoiced. He rejoiced that he had an opportunity to help his family. He rejoiced that God took all these things in the past and used it for good for his family. He got to reconcile with me. Amen. He got to reconcile with the family. So we just stop there for a moment. And where are you at in that area right now? Have you been an outcast by your family? Have they done bad things to you? Have they mistreated you? Well, God takes those things and He makes some good come out of it. But what He doesn't want to do is for your heart to grow cold. He doesn't want us to try to rebel against those who mistreat us. Amen? If you're a born-again Christian, everything that comes into our lives, God can use it for good. He says, for those who truly love Him. And if Joseph turned it around, he got to bring his family there. They took care of things. And they all found favor in Egypt, Kenny, for years with the king. But as time goes on, that king who brought Joseph up, that king died. New people come in charge. And Joseph and his brothers, they started passing on also. And somewhere along the line, they quit talking about how God moved in their lives. They weren't sharing what took place, what Satan meant for bad, that God turned around for good. As they honored God in their life, they were taken care of. Pretty soon they started backsliding, we would call it today. Now, a couple hundred years later, we have a government that has nothing to know about God and Joseph and all that took place, how God intervened through His people and saved Egypt. So, God's people now are taken to slavery. Egypt now are making them work for them because they forgot God. So time went on and they worked and they worked and they worked. And somewhere along the line they started thinking, wait, what was that, Joe? Our great, 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 great ancestors. Remember they had this problem? And God delivered them. So the people of God started calling out, God, rescue us, save us from, rescue us from our slavery. They started turning back to God. You know, God never left them. You know that? They left God. God was still there. God was the same as He was. He still wants to bless His children. But His children had turned their back on Him. How His heart must have wept for centuries. They had nothing to do with Him. Didn't want to talk to Him. Didn't want to communicate with Him. Had nothing. But the minute His children started calling out, the Bible says He heard them. He heard the cries of His children. And He wanted to do something about that. Isn't that awesome? Today, maybe you're away from God. Maybe you walked with God and you're away from Him. He's still waiting for you to cry out to Him. Hey, Lord, forgive me. Help me, Lord. And He's just waiting to do that. He's a God that does not change. Amen? So they're calling out. God, help us. Help us. Because now, they've got more and more work to do, Bob. Oh, they're getting more and more work. They are multiplying like crazy. Did not God, that's one of the God commandments, go multiply? They were. The Egyptians got so scared that, man, the Hebrews, there are so many of them, they might rise up against us. They might come and take over our land. So, give them more work to do. Then they come up with this idea. We're going to wipe out one of these generations. Sent the soldiers out to destroy the young babies. I think it's 2 years and younger. Mm-hmm. To take them, rip them from the mama's hands and throw them in the Nile River. We'll get rid of one of these generations. We'll sort of cut down this population. Well, a fellow named Moses. Ever hear of Moses? His mama heard what was coming. And now I got to do something. So she took Moses and put him in a little basket. And took him and put him in the Nile River and sent him downstream. Something had to be done. He's going to be killed. But she just trusted God. She put him in the river and sent him downstream that God would take care of Moses. Isn't it funny? And not funny, but I mean strange. The Nile River, Opal, is a river that everyone was throwing, all the bad people, the Egyptians, was throwing the kids in, drowning them. So the same thing that was used to kill the kids, she put her child in it in a basket, and it floated on top of it. It's kind of ourselves. All the stuff out there that's killing our kids today, if we lift them up before the Master and place them in His hands, He'll take them over top of what's trying to kill them today. God is a God that doesn't change. And down the road, down the river there, who pulls them in? The Pharaoh's daughter pulls in Moses. Now this child that they're trying to kill, now they're going to be raised up in the Pharaoh's house. Wow. Isn't that God for you? For 40 years now, Moses was trained in the ways of Egypt. He was awesome. I mean, he just a great, mighty man, had favor in the eyes of the king, of the Pharaoh. But one day, he found out that he's really a Hebrew. He went back and visited his mom, still went back and lived in the courts of the Egyptians. But one day, someone was assaulting one of his people, and Moses raised up and killed the man. at 40 years old. Now they wanted him for murder. He took off. He left the land of Egypt and took off running. And for 40 years, he would stay outside of Egypt. He would end up getting married, tending sheep. And one day, while tending sheep, he probably kind of kicked back, maybe had a piece of straw in his mouth. Looks up the mountain, he sees this bush on fire. And he kept watching it. I mean, how long did it take for a bush to dry up or burn up? It never did. So he got up. So I got to check this out. So he walks up the side of the mountain. He gets close to this burning bush, and a voice speaks out. It says, "Moses." He says, "You take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground." It was God. It was God calling Moses. And what God said? He said, "Moses, I've heard the cries of my people. Now I'm going to use you to deliver them." Wow. And of course, Moses, he gave God every excuse why he couldn't do it. He couldn't speak right. He couldn't do this, couldn't do that. By now, Moses is 80 years old. Okay? Every excuse. Oh, my bunions probably, you know. I got arthritis or whatever he come up with. Trying to tell God, "Now I can't do it." But God said, "Hey, you can do it." He agrees to it. Moses does. God gives him his brother Aaron to go with him because Moses says, "You know, I can't speak very well." So God says, "Okay, okay. That excuse ain't going to work. Take Aaron. I'll talk to you. You tell Aaron. Aaron will speak to him." So every time he gave an excuse, God found a way of just getting rid of it. So finally, Moses goes back to Egypt. He goes back to the same place. 40 years later, they're trying to chase him down to kill him. But God had called him to do it. He trusted God. He went and told the people, "Hey, God has heard the cries. He heard you calling out to them, out to him, and he sent me here to rescue you." Of course, right away, "Yeah, who do you think you are?" Yeah, isn't that funny? You cry out, the answer comes, and we don't want to receive it. You know? Well, God won't use you. You're 80 years old. You bearded old man. You smile like a goat. Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, can you follow me on that?
Yeah, it didn't come the way they thought it would.
Yep. They expected, you know, maybe angels coming out sword and slaying people. Well, Moses, what God showed him to do, he took his hand, put it inside of his clothing. He pulled it out, and it was leprosy. Leprosy was all over his hands. And people saw that. Then he took his hand, put it back inside his coat, pulled it out, and it was perfect again. So, they decided they would trust Moses to a degree. So Moses goes and he tells the king, "Hey, listen, God says this, let my people free." And you know what? The Pharaoh didn't pay no attention to him. He thought the same thing probably. Number one, he didn't know God. He didn't care about God. He didn't fear God. Here's this bearded man coming from taking care of tending flock. Probably smelled like sheep. He ain't going to pay no attention to him. So Moses goes back to God and tells him. So God, knowing all things, he sent Moses back and ended up going through 10 plagues. Everyone familiar with the plagues? You know? And what they were, the first one he would go and he would take his Aaron's rod and he'd throw it down and the rod would turn to a snake. Now how many people that convinced you something's going on here?
Yeah.
Well, Pharaoh's magicians and sorcerers took their rods they had and threw them down, and they turned into snakes also. But Aaron's serpent, his rod, ate up the two sorcerers, and they picked it back up and turned back into a rod again. That, to me, is some serious stuff. But the king, I ain't going to let him go.
Because Satan has power, but God's power...
Right, you need to turn that on if you're going to share with that. But yeah, Satan has power, but God's power is greater than that. The second plague he did, he took the water and turned the blood. Can you imagine the Nile River running in blood? Now, well, I want you to listen to now. I know this is history, but I want you to understand this is your God. You understand? This is your God. This ain't something that just happened, you know, a few thousand years ago. This is still your God today. And what God is trying to do through all these things is try to build up the confidence of His people, because He knew a time was coming very soon that they're going to have to cross, millions of them cross the Red Sea, and it's taking about 4 days to get across there, and they need to have faith and confidence in their God in order to do what He wants them to do. So you need the same thing today. The thing that God is calling you to do, you got to have faith and confidence in Him. How do you do that? By seeing who your God is. Your God changed water into blood. Wow, that's pretty powerful, right? Amen?
Yeah.
Is anybody out there this morning? I'll just preach to myself. The next plague, He causes frogs to go out over the land. But can you imagine frogs eating everything up? Still, He wouldn't release the people. Then the insects came. Then all the cattle of Egypt died. Wow, remember, these are people who are an enemy of God and God's people. You understand this? This is God's enemy. So I remind ourselves today, if God is your God, if you're born again, this is what He'll do for you. Hear me, church? But if you're not one of His children, this is what He'll do against you. If you raise up against His people, God says you're either for me or against me. So may this encourage us today as believers in Jesus. Man, He'll do the same thing for me. But if we haven't accepted Jesus Christ today, if we're not a child of God today, man, these are the things here that comes against us as we interfere with God. God doesn't want to. God would love to see all the Egyptians born again. He would love to see the first time through that rod down, they all, oh, praise God, get born again.
Right.
But they didn't. So the next time thing He did, He sent the boils on their bodies. And on their animals. Man, can you imagine walking around? Everybody's doing that. And Moses would announce this. He would say, go let my people go. No, I won't do it. I'll refuse to obey God. And boom, another, this would take place. Again, showing the people the mighty hand of God, and trying to show Egypt the Pharaoh to release His people.
And the miracle of that is every plague that came happened to the Egyptians, but not to the Israelites.
Amen. They were protected.
They were protected, even yep. though they all lived in the same country.
Yep, they were protected.
Then
they... Right, that's coming up, yep. Then the hail came. Hail came down and beat their crops down, destroyed everything. Still refused to let God be God. The question today, what are you doing today that you're refusing God to be God in your life, and these situations are taking place in your life, and instead of turning to God, you're cursing God, saying, well, what kind of God are you? He's a loving, caring God. Hear me, church? If we allow Him, He wants to love you. He wants to hold you, protect you, care for you. But we push Him away. We push Him out of our life. And when we do, we say, okay, you know, if you don't want me, He will not force Himself on you. But sometimes we don't realize, but when we're disobedient to God, we are pushing Him away. Locusts came. Wow. Then darkness came over all the land, except for where the Israelites were at. All these signs given. And still, nothing. Still defiant. Now, I don't know if people in that day, in Egypt, sat around the table for dinner, like we all do sometimes, and you talk about the events. I wonder if every one of these plagues, if they had a way of watering it down. It's just coincidental. Come on. I mean, we have all them insects, then all them frogs, the water turned into blood, okay? The cattle died. It's dark out, the locusts. It's just coincidental some bearded man's down there talking to the king. I mean, were they trying to water it down? Did any attention come, I wonder? Did any start looking at this and, man, this guy might know what he's talking about? I don't know. But let's go to Exodus chapter 11. If you got your Bible, if not, just mark them down. And the reason they call it Exodus is because they're going to exit out of slavery. Now I'm going to pick up in chapter 11 and verse 1 I'll start with. I'm going to catch myself up here too. So now the Lord said to Moses, now that's after all these plagues took place, so one more plague will I bring on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out from here completely. Speak now, he says, in the hearing of the people, that each man acts from his neighbor and each woman from her neighbor for articles of silver and articles of gold. And you got to realize we're talking about millions of people now. We're not just talking about a couple of tents with maybe 20 people in it. We're talking millions of people that Moses, God's going to use Moses to bring them out of slavery. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Furthermore, the man Moses himself was greatly esteemed in the land of Egypt, both in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Wow. So he was held high in the sight of Pharaoh's servants. Not Pharaoh, but those who served him saw that the hand of God, a true God, was on. And same as the people with him. And Moses said, thus says the Lord, it's about midnight, I'm going out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of the Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the millstones, all the firstborn of the cattle as well. Moreover, there shall be a great cry in all the land of Egypt, such as there has not been before, and such as shall never be again. But against any of the sons of Israel, a dog shall not even bark, whether against man or beast, that you may understand how the Lord makes the distinction between Egypt and Israel. Or, he's saying, how God makes the distinction between sin and righteousness. How God makes the distinction between those who follow Him through the Son, Jesus Christ, and those who reject Him, is what He's saying to us today. And all these, your servants, will come down to me and bow themselves before me, saying, go out, you and all the people who follow you. And after that, I will go out. And he went out from the Pharaoh in hot anger. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh would not listen to you. So my wonders will be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh. Yet the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the sons of Israel go out of his land. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the tenth of this month they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to the father's household. A lamb for each household. Now if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbors nearest to him shall take one according to the number of persons in them, according to what each man should eat, and you are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, then you shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. And they shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and with better herbs. Do not eat it raw or boil it. Do not eat any of it raw or boil it at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs and all the entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning, but whatever is left of until morning you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat this in the manner which your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will bring through the land of Egypt all that night, and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Wow. So this is Moses sharing what God said. People have been crying out, save us, rescue us. Amen? Tired of slavery. Tired of all of it. God said, okay, this is it. Number 10. The first nine plagues was used to show Pharaoh a true God, but also to convince the people, one, that God chose Moses to lead them. Number two, that God is God and God is very powerful.
Yeah.
By now, I would think that you're pretty well convinced God is a God of His Word. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, everything that Moses was going to take place that God told him took place. So now here's Moses telling you, if you don't mind, I'm getting hot. Here's God telling Moses to get the people ready. Get a lamb in the house. You're going to kill it. Put the blood on the doorposts. I'm going to send a death angel down through the streets. And the first male born of each family is going to die. Now, how many people would want to argue at that point, I wonder? See, what he said to take a lamb or a goat, a year old, unblemished, he said to bring it into your house for 4 days. Now, I was going to bring my dog in today, but I didn't. I'm afraid she might. She looks like a little lamb. But this is the closest thing that I have. And he said to bring this little fella in for 4 days into your house. Look at him. Oh, man. He's cute. But seriously, they are. Aren't lambs cute? You ever watch them running around? Popping around and stuff? For 4 days, Joe, you come home from work, I'll run up to you. Fred, look in your dinner bucket. You got any leftover today? I mean, you ever see a lamb shake a little tail? I mean, just for 4 days, this little precious little lamb brought into the house. Probably sat down at the table when you're eating dinner and he's going, man, give me a carrot. You know, well, they don't talk, you know, but look at that. Oh, the kids be looking at it. Oh, saying, oh, well, can I sleep with me tonight? Can you sleep with me tonight? Look at that. Feel how soft he is. Oh, man. I mean, awesome. Look at that. All right.
Thank you.
Bah. Bah. For 4 days. Without blemish. Blemish means nothing can be wrong with it. Yeah, for 4 days you got to inspect him. So you know you're holding him, you're washing him up, blow-drying his hair, checking for everything. Well, have you ever heard that Jesus was called the Lamb of God? Okay. And, you know, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, but we celebrated what we called Palm Sunday. Remember that, guys? Palm Sunday is when Jesus was entering Jerusalem before he's going to be sacrificed. Okay. He came in Jerusalem and for 4 days. 4 days, this Lamb of God was under the scrutiny eye of all the people. For 4 days, they kept looking at Jesus, trying to find something wrong with him. Remember that? 4 days, the Pharaoh, the Sadducees, Rome, they're all trying to find something wrong with Jesus. They could not. He was without blemish. He never sinned. He did nothing wrong. So, it came to the point, actually, they had to have trumped up charges to have Jesus arrested. They lied. It took 4 days and they took him into custody. Then they're going to nail him and he's going to die on the cross. 4 days of having this little fellow in your house, this little lamb, never did anybody any harm. Really all he had was love in his heart, being cute as he is. And on the fourth day at twilight, they took the knife out and cut his throat. And the blood of this little lamb then was taken. And it was placed on the doorpost, the lintel, and the post. And they used a hyssop branch to do it with. I mean, the blood was on the outside of the door, not on the inside. Mm-hmm. But when God would send the death angel, seeing that blood of the lamb, he would pass over. See, the blood could cause a death angel to pass over of the lamb, but it couldn't cause redemption of your sins. See, a little lamb is going to be sinless. Okay? Animals are sinless. But it took the blood of a sinless human to pay the price for your sins. So the lamb couldn't do it. All it could do was to mark the doorpost. And you think for a second, this was done for sins. Okay? You say, how could God cause a little lamby to be killed? Well, number one, God loves you more than he does lamb. But he loves lambs. Okay? But number two, we're the one that caused the lamb to be slaughtered. It's our sins. You say, well, how terrible is God? God is awesome. He told clear back in the beginning to Adam and Eve, man, the minute you sin, man, death is coming. So, here we go. lamb slaughtered, putting the blood on the doorpost. Millions of Egyptians. I wonder, this is a wonder. You won't find this in Exodus 11, but my thought process, knowing kids are kids. So some of the, I believe Hebrew children will be friends with the Egyptians. You know how they are, they play back and forth. Kids get along great. It's when they get older normally, when the parents have divisions, amen?
Right.
And so, you've got your kids who are playing with the kids around the street who are Egyptians, and you tell them, listen, you be in the night, you be home the night before twilight. You gotta be home. Why? Because God said to be. Oh, God, all I hear is God all the time. You know, Johnny down the street, you know, this night we're playing marbles. You tell me I can't play marbles tonight? We always do it. They're going to make fun of me.
There's nothing wrong with playing marbles.
Well, listen, there's nothing wrong with playing marbles. Said, God said for you to be here. We've got to be under the blood of the Lamb tonight. It's important. I don't want to be. How many arguments went on? Was there any of them that said, okay, I'm tired of arguing with you. Just stay out. Do what you want to do. If they did, it would cost the life of the firstborn. So we go back to the love of God. Prior to this, He had 9 times that He showed the people that He is a God of truth. That what He says is going to happen. I believe around the table at nighttime, the parents were talking about what God said He's going to do, what God did, sharing that with the children to convince them that you need to do what God says to do. So I would imagine that all the children were kept in the house. I don't imagine there's any rebellion going on that time because God is God. So, applying that to you today, God is God today, but how much rebellion has gone in your life against God? How many times you taking the thing that God said to do and not doing it? How many times you taking the thing that He said not to do and you are doing it? That is still the same thing. That is called rebellion. That is rebellion. Maybe what's going on is you're not hearing the Word of God enough. Maybe you're not taking that Word of God in your house. You're not speaking it out to your children. You're not sharing it with your wife or husband. You're not praying together. And you're living in a stage of rebellion, but we think we're okay because we're under the grace of God. Hear me, church. Hear the Word of God today. This thing is still for us today. We look at what they did. It applies to us today. But they took the blood, marked the doorpost. And that night, the death angel of the Lord came down the streets, and the first male born of everything died that was not under the blood on the doorpost. Even Pharaoh's own son died. And finally, at that time, Pharaoh said, that's enough. Get your people and get out of here. Moses didn't go up, I don't believe. He said, oh, thank you, Pharaoh. Oh, thank you. No, he did not. His God spoken, His God said it, and they're going to do it. And when they left, they get all the gold, the silver, they carry everything, give them to them, just get out of here. You get out of here. And God set him free. 430 years captivity. 430 years. Finally, in that space, when they forgot what God had done for them, what God wanted to do for them, when they remembered, turned back to Him and cried out to Him, God was waiting to hear them and deliver them from the bondage. And God is still doing the same thing today. Are you crying out today? Are you in some type of bondage that got you, whatever it might be, and you say, God, rescue me. Save me. Well, He still got the same blood. He has the blood of the Lamb for you today. That blood today is called the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's there to set you free also. But it is sent to you to put over the heart of your temple and for you to stay under the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Not to step out. That night, even with the blood on the doorpost, if they would have stepped outside of the household, they would have brought the death upon their household. Being disobedient to God. Sometimes, I know we like the feeling, oh man, I said a prayer, I'm born again, and we still live in sin. That's stepping out from the blood of Jesus. That's stepping out to where you say, okay, I'll pay the penalty myself. I know it's sin. Meg, I know I shouldn't go outside, there's blood on the doorpost, but I'm going out anyway. And when I step outside there, I step out on my own. I have to pay the penalties. I'm on my own. I tie the hands of God. And we invite Jesus Christ into your life. He comes. He'll forgive us of our sins. But He comes to be the Lord of your life. And if we decide, well, He won't be my Lord. I want Him to be my Lord. But I'm going to stay in my sin. Then He is not your Lord. You're only deceiving yourself that you're headed on the pathway to hell. And God doesn't want that. The blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ we sang earlier is the most powerful blood there ever is. It'll set you free from whatever's haunting you. This thing that causes you to sin all the time. If you want to get rid of it, He'll get rid of it. But you got to want it. You got to invite Him in your life. You got to consume Him. He has to be number one in your life. When we say, oh, I tried that. I just can't. You haven't given it to the Lord. If you want something bad enough, God will give it to you. If you allow Him to be God in your life. Moses, when he said, hey, God sent me to set you free. They didn't pack up. Oh, let's go. Boop, 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 boop. No. There's some things that has to be done. Any one of them could reject it. They could cross over and be in Egypt. So I'm on their side. They're the ones that had to take the lamb. They're the one that had to put the blood on the household. They're the one that had to stay under the blood. They're the one that had to be ready. Had their sandals on, you ready. Because man, it's going to be released. He's going to release it. When He said go, we got to go now. Because if you don't go when He tells you to go, He might close the door on you. I'll deliver you today from your sins. I'll deliver you from the addiction. Right now, give it to me. Well, wait. I got one more party to go to, God. One more party. And soon I have this last beer, this last joint, pop this last pill. God, tomorrow morning I'm going to give it all to you. By then it's too late. Because the door's closed. Yeah, you want to set free today, not tomorrow. So on God's terms, not your terms.
That's right.
Don't let Satan deceive you anymore. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be set free. When we put things off, that door closes and you're trapped. That door may never open up again.
That's right.
Never. I used to be a good one to open all the time. I smoked for years. Normally by October, I started thinking, you know what? January 1st, midnight, I'm going to quit smoking. Anybody with me? Anybody been there before? Oh, my.
December
31st. On New Year's, I'm going to quit smoking. So I got 3 more months to enjoy this smoking. January comes. Well, I didn't tell anybody I was going to quit smoking. Did I get a witness here? Now, when I would go and tell my mom, my wife, hey, I'm going to quit smoking. I'm done with it, New Year's Eve, my kids. Then I got someone I got to be accountable to. But normally about 3 or 4 days into it, I'll convince myself I'll just cut down a little. If I would have stayed with it a week, man, it set me free. 21 days it takes to start a new habit. But that desire inside of you is gone. 3 days, boom. 24 hours, my lungs start healing itself. But what I should have done back in October when I had the desire, man, I want to quit smoking, I should have quit it right then because the desire was great in me.
Amen.
That's when I should. I do something good diets. Come first of the month, you know. When it move upon you, right then is time to do it because the will might be closed. And same with God. He had the desire to set His people free today as He did 4,000 years ago. But God has to be God. His Word has to be established in our life. We cannot compromise it. We cannot change it. We cannot put it off. And folks, don't think this is a lecture on smoking. Because hot dogs are just as bad for you as cigarettes. Okay? This is just saying if you got something. Mine was smoking. I want to get, you know, finally laid him down 19 years ago. But it was on his term, not my term. Now, Jesus Christ is the Passover Lamb. He tells us. Well, I'm going to share a couple of verses with you. I don't want to lose anybody. But John chapter 1, verse 29. John the Baptist. He's a cousin of Jesus. Everybody familiar? Yep. Mother's name Elizabeth. He was born, raised up. He's out there preaching, telling people, hey, the Messiah's going to come, get yourself ready. He's baptizing people. Then one day he looks down the road and he sees Jesus coming. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Declaring, here comes Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He is a Lamb of God. And as lambs are, lambs need to be sacrificed. In Egypt, when God told them to roast that lamb, remember I told you that? He said to cook it, eat it. As they obeyed Him, they left there. Not one person was feeble. Not one person was sick. As they followed God's word to the T and consumed that lamb, sickness and disease was not among the people. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Consume it all. John chapter 6, verse 56. I'm going to start a few verses before. Be down here just a little bit. I won't tell you how soon, but this is important because God says for us to do this. And He wants you to remember who He is. That He'll do the same for us. But Jesus, chapter 6, verse 41, I'm going to start with in chapter 6 of John. John chapter 6, verse 41, I'm going to start at. Emphasis is on 56, so if you want to write it down. But it says, therefore, the Jews were grumbling about Him, because Jesus said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. They are saying, is it not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does He now say, I have come down out of heaven? Well, Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. For it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to Me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Talking about Himself. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. And manna was what God gave the people. When they crossed the Red Sea and headed across the land, every day they wake up, it'd be like having a slice of bread there for you. Every day He provided food for His people. But He said, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven, Jesus declares. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is My flesh. And verse 52 says, then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus truly said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For My flesh is true food, and My blood is true drink. He who eats My flesh and drinks My blood abides in Me, and I in him. As the living Father sent Me, I live because of the Father. So he who eats Me, he also will live because of Me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. Amen. These things He said in the synagogue that He taught in Capernaum. Verse 6, He said, but therefore many of the disciples, when they heard this, said, this is too difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, being conscious that His disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where He was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. He says again, I'll repeat that. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who it was that would betray Him. And He was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to Me unless it has been granted to him from the Father. And as a result of this, many of His disciples withdrew and were walking with Him no more. I'll share one more verse and I'll put it all together for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 26. Verse 23, verse 26, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, Paul said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this blood, eat this bread and drink from the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So he made a statement. He said, listen, you have to eat my flesh, drink my blood for eternal life. And the people thought, man, how can we do that? This guy's weird. What do you mean I have to eat his flesh and drink his blood? Well, how do you eat a steak? You grab a knife and you grab a fork. That's how you eat a steak. Okay? Who is Jesus Christ? He is the living Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
He is the living Word. He is the Word of God that came in down in flesh to walk among men. How do you... I told you, Bob, if I give you a book today... Well, I'll just use the Bible. If I gave this to you, Brother Bob, I said, hey, take this home, I want you to consume this thing. Now, I ask you right now, would you take a fork and knife out there, start cutting that book up, and start eating it? Well, I told you to consume it. No. A steak, you would. That's how you consume a steak. How do you consume a book? You read it. Amen. You read it. So, Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. He is the Word of God. So how would you consume it? He said, man, eat my flesh, drink my blood. He said, everything. He's saying, all of me. Every word in here, consume this, he says. Consume this. If you want to follow me, you want eternal life. And this will give you strength. This will give you health. This gives you eternal life. But some people couldn't understand that. They couldn't receive that. And they walked away. And folks, some of us are doing the same thing today. We're hearing the Word of God. He's telling us today, hey, consume me. But we're looking at it and say, nah, that's wacko. I'm not doing that. And we're walking away from it. These were His disciples. Those who came to follow Him. You know, and the more they hung out with the Master, the more that He was able to reveal to them. The more He was able to share with them, because He wanted to strengthen them. He wanted to encourage them. He wanted to prepare them, because surely He was going to be gone. And He wanted to put them on a foundation that they wouldn't fall off of. But He said, you got to consume me. And today, some of us, we open up the Word of God, or we hear the Word of God. All right, well, that preacher, that Starkey, I know he means well. Sometimes his veins pop out on his forehead. I love his jokes, but you know, I just, you know. Yeah, I get carried away. This is the Word of God. There's nothing I can ever do for you. But this Word can. Jesus Christ can save you. I cannot. I will not be standing there beside you on Judgment Day. I'll be standing there myself with the Master beside me. And He wants to be beside you. Some of us are fans of Jesus Christ, as the saying goes, and some of us are followers. Some of us truly follow Jesus and His Word. And we allow that Word just to wash over us and change us, renew our minds. Some of us are just fans. Meaning, hey, we like Jesus, we like what He did. But the minute any controversy about the Word, or someone says to you, are you a Christian? As you're walking to a bar tonight, you're not one. What do Don't you go to church? Well, I've been there a couple times. Quickly we deny the Master. He doesn't want you to be a fan. He wants you to be a follower of His. Amen?
Amen.
And the only way you can be a follower of Jesus is to be consumed by His Word. Otherwise, you're just a fan. Well, I understand what he's saying. But there's going to be a lot of buts in hell, I'm afraid. Change this. And folks, what I share with you today, I gave you all the scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
Did I not? You can go home tonight, open it up, and see whether this crazy man has told you the truth or not. You should be able to go to any church in the community, reach in the pulpit and pull out the Bible, and the same thing is going to be in there. It's not my opinion. Hear me, guys? Now, you understand, sometimes I said, but it's something like this. When I start talking about the kids in Egypt going down to play marbles, I said it's something like this. They weren't playing. You guys understand that, right? Okay. But it's the true Word of God. And God loves us so much, He doesn't want to see one of us perish. Not one of us. Passover. If we apply the blood of Jesus over our lives, when we lay this body down, that death will pass over us, and we'll be in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be in the presence of the living God. And I encourage you today, if you have any questions about what I've shared, get a hold of me after church. We'll get a time set up, and we'll sit down and have a cup of coffee, and let me share more or explain more. There's no dumb questions when it comes to... Well, there's no dumb questions. If you've got questions, it's because God will move it upon your heart, and I'll try to answer them. But, saying that, any questions right now on what I shared today? Anything that I don't quite understand? That I can clarify for you? Just remember this, that God loves you. No matter where you're at with God today, whether you're walking with His Son, and you're a child of God, or whether you're not, He still loves you. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to allow Him to trust Him for eternal life. And that's what it is. You know, you believe there's a God? Do you believe there's a Son of God named Jesus Christ? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Do you believe He rose up again? And have you ever sinned? If you said yes to all that, then you already have every requirement that you need. All you got to do now is allow yourself to ask God to forgive your sins through Jesus Christ. To ask Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord, which He'll show you what to do. And your Savior, He'll save you from yourself. He'll save you from the pits of hell. That's how we start this walk. And as we hear the Word of God, it strengthens us. And He starts taking this stuff out of our lives, showing us what we need to get rid of. For His sake. Amen. Amen. God is good.